in the Tough Reish Bays. Mr. Brewer, Siv Katan Vav. So, you know what Siv we're holding in Tough Reish Bays? There's only one Siv. Mr. Brewer, Siv Katan Vav. Shalot Pamim Vidri. Came here, Misha, the Sikhs, that I Rosh Hashanah, came Masha, Men Hogan. So, we only mentioned over here the idea of saying three Viduyim. It's only mentioned now during Sesame Chuba, but the truth is it applies already from the first day of Slichas that there is the meaning of the same three times. Actually, the meaning of the Gra, that the Gra is only said only one time, and the Chabbos Chaim also is only going to say it one time. What are the Nusos Arlan says three times, huh? Yeah. So the argument being the same, the argument to saying at one time would be that you know, there's a you know, vidu peh, a person says vidu without the kavana. It's an avera vidu peh, a person saying vidu without meaning it. So it's challenging enough to muster up focus to say the vidu properly one time. To say the vidu properly three times is more challenging. Mm-hmm. Make more sense to say it one time slowly with more kavana than to say it quickly three times. Ken Mashra Menhog. Fine. Then, so we say it these three times, except for Erev Kippur, we only say it one time. For two reasons. Number one, we're going to say it again later in the day. That's number one. Number two, Erev Kippur itself is a day of Yom Tov, so we change the way we deal with it a little bit. Okay, a person, they should not place a cherem on somebody during a Sarsim Echuvah, and you shouldn't be mashpia, a person in Bezin during a Sarsim Echuvah, cherem. Why? Shlala ur kechus adin bezmanahu. Cherem is raising up a complaint against the person in Shemayim. The significance of a cherem is not so much down here. Obviously, it's challenging down here for a person, but in Shemayim, the person is considered now outside of the main body of Klal Yisrael. The Midas Adin will have a power over him. So, wherever you raise up Midas Adin against somebody, it's a two-edged sword. Cherem Mashpian. We don't want to bring an Einish for a Shua in this world. So the day of Hipuch, Hipuch means when A is making a complaint against B and B is not responding, but we can't prove he's doing something wrong. So there are certain scenarios where we said you can't give him, can't make him pay, we'll put him in cherem for not. So he wants to argue
not
back.
Paying.
What?
Not paying.
Not paying, whatever it is. So he wants to argue back, you know. That there's a concept called hipuch shvua, means that if you're willing to swear, I'll pay. So let's say A is chayv shvua. So A says I don't want to swear, but if you're willing to swear that I do owe the money, I'll pay. That's hipuch shvua. So cherem, sometimes a cherem is put on a person and says, you know, if what you're saying is true, you should be mekabel cherem if what you're saying is false. You claim you don't owe the money. Fine, we can't make you do anything. But we want to give you a cherem that if what you're saying is false, you're in cherem. He says, you know what? I have a better idea. What, if you're willing to be mekabel cherem, what you're saying is false. What you're saying is true, and that you're not lying. And if you're lying, you'll be in cherem. I'll pay you. So he's mahapach the cherem. The same type of idea as hipuch shvua. He's mahapach the cherem. So the other person says, fine. Okay, if you're willing to, if that's what you're willing to do, it means he's accepting the cherem upon himself, basically. So he's, as opposed to the bezin putting the cherem, he's saying, I'm willing to accept upon myself that if what I'm saying is false, it's okay, I'll be in the cherem. That, and therefore collect my money. So is he allowed to do that? So he says, the vice, it's not a good idea to do that. But if a person wants to, and therefore be able to collect his money, we can't stop it. It's proper for Bezdin to address the case and try and get the money back, because we have a rule that when the Bezdin down here does what it's supposed to do, that removes the need for Bezdin Shamala to punish for it. So that's beneficial for the person to do that. We have a minute not to say Kiddush Lavana until after Matzah Yom Kippur. Why is that? The Kiddush Lavana Yer Sotayv Kishu Mavusim Ubesimcha. It's probably
love until after Matzah Tisha B'Av.
So similarly, right? Because the person is not supposed to say Kiddush Lavana until he's in a state of being happy, because it is an act of greeting a Kiddush Baruch Hu. The Chazal say it's like being mekabel the Shechina. So, therefore, a person should do it in a state of happiness and a state of mavusim, where he's feeling content. So, normally we do Motzei Shabbos, a person has had a nice Shabbos, a person has had Shabbos meals, a person is wearing a Shabbos Shabbos, etc. So, you wait till after Yom Kippur, because that's when you feel, until then you feel this tremendous pressure of what's going to be with the din. There's a matter that says that the Rosh Hashanah announces through a baskel, go and echov simcha. So it means it's a state of simcha already. Okay. So that is the Rambam.
When
Motzei Yom Kippur. I do want to point out the Motzei Tisha B'Av, because of this issue of saying it b'simcha. So we don't say before Tisha B'Av, because so after Tisha B'Av we're looking forward to the Nechama, but you shouldn't say it when you're fasting, because it's lacking the state of simcha when you're fasting. Motzei Yom Kippur, the Maaseh of the Minhag is not to be machmer on that, because the Kippur of Yom Kippur is such that the fasting was for the purpose of Kippurah, not for Avelis, so that's not a steer to the idea of simcha. The Kippurah itself is the simcha. The Motzei Tisha B'Av, where the idea of the fasting was connected more to the Avelis, so he's still in a state of fasting, he's not in a state of simcha. So it's more proper to, not to say it immediately, but to say it later on. To say it later on in the evening, if it's possible. That's the way we have in the yeshiva. We have a Motzei Tisha B'Av. We
later
have
later on in the evening.
So we have a Kiddush Lavana, like later on in the evening, at night time after people go home and eat, and they come back and they say Kiddush Lavana after having something to eat. Now, getting back to Tzitzit Mitzvah, Abul Dad the Kamachronim His Kima Shi Yeshu Toyev L'Karim Mitzvah Mekarim Kedei She Mitzvah Zul Yichriyeu L'Chavskus. Why don't you say, instead of waiting to have Yom Kippur and see what happens, do it earlier, because it's such a powerful mitzvah. It itself is a schus of the person, and that itself will help the judgment, will be beneficial for him. That's what the Gros says.
Such a powerful schus for the person. Kiddushin Lulav.
Yeah. Okay. So that this is...
You're giving your Gemara the extra
share time? Yes. Okay. So now, Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the minhag is to say Tzitzikoscha. Shabbos Shabbain, Noegim Shena Nar Omer Haftorah Shab Shuba Yisrael. Even though Mikra Din Loch is a child under the age of Bar Mitzvah, could be Maftir, except for the Dalid, the Dalid Parshiyas, which are Mikra Din, that you have to land them. A person under mitzvah really meeker than can get maftir and then lay in the haftarah, but Shabbos Shuba we don't do that either. We give it that. And for there, when actually went to the Rav, take a look at the Ber Hetiv over here in Sivkot and Dalet. This is a wild story there. So Kiddush Lavana. So there's a idea of Lavush. He says that the Mishnah Berurah just mentions better not to wait. Let's do the mitzvah beforehand, and it should add to our merits. I'm not sure what the Orchadosh is.
Not sure what the Orchadosh
is. Yeah. There's a person who, there's bandits who met him at nighttime. And they wanted to kill him. So he asked them, you're going to kill me, one last request, let me do one more mitzvah before I die. It was the time for Kiddush Lavana. This person said Kiddush Lavana with tremendous kavana. When he would jump up the person would jump up. When he jumped up, then the Russian made an ace and so ruach menitzumim. The wind picked him up and carried him away. So he's saying that there's a tremendous power to the inyan of Kiddush Lavana. You see that it's able to create nisim like that, or to set the person for misa. So you'd want to say that, you'd like to say that before Yom Kippur, to get that schus in before Yom Kippur. Siman Tav Resh Gimel.
So is there any special significance that this siman has no title?
It's not very significant, because if you turn back to Simon Tavkuf Tzadi Tez, you also know that they're titleless, and so is Tavkuf Tzadi Vav, that they didn't get a title. Now, I'm not sure, why we have such all these little small simon, and sometimes it's simon, eight, 10, 15 simon long, and why don't we just make this all one long simon? I have no idea why the tour did that. He's following the tour. Okay, so Zok the Mechaber. Even a person who's not careful to eat non-Jewish bread the whole year, but during the Sarasim Yitzhuva, a person should be careful not to eat pas of a goy. Okay. Well, seen in Mishapur. A person during the Sarasim Yitzhuva, a person should search through his actions. Loshem mehem baser se mishuba. He should do tshuva. Suffolk of error. Yisrach yisrach tshuva me aver vadoyis. In general, a aver which a person did, and he's not, which is not clear, was an aver or not. A person has to do more tshuva on it than aver vadoyis. Why is that? Ki yosim mischar kesh yudeya she also mishen yudeya. In general, the person feels more charata if he knows he did something wrong, rather than when a case where he can rationalize what probably was okay. L'chein korban oshem toli hutzrich liyos yoser b'yorke mechatzis. And that's why the korban oshem toli is more expensive than a korban chatzis. Chatzis is bought for a aver vadoyis, and a korban oshem toli is brought in a case if it's possibly a aver. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah says, so the din of pasakum. So Chazal asked the pasakum. The same way Chazal asked bishalakum, Chazal asked the wine of a goy. Chazal also asked pasakum. But since bread is something which is very, very necessary to people to live, in those days it didn't seem that they were very concerned about the possibility of non-kosher ingredients in the bread. They used to bake it on the oven. Very little else was done there. And the ingredients were pretty straightforward. It's flour and water, maybe a little bit of salt. So this wasn't kashrus. This was also, we don't want you to be eating bread with a goy, because you eat with a goy, you're going to become comfortable with the family with a goy, and then the person ends up becoming too familiar with the goy, it's dangerous. But Chazal came along and said that if a person is in a place where there's no pas still available, he's allowed to eat what's called pas palter. Palter was buying bread not from a person, the person who's a individual householder, but it's a person who sells bread. He's a baker. So the concern of intimacy that he's buying, that they're eating bread together, it doesn't apply to a case of a baker. You know, when Bessie has a restaurant in the store, so it's not eating with the goy. For Paspalter, it's permitted if Pasas Shell is not available.
What's considered not available?
So now let's see the Mishabur.
You don't have an oven.
So I says when Sarakli Zor, Hano Filo mi Paspalter Shel Goy. When we're saying you have to be Zor over here, we're referring to even Paspalter. Now, the man of Yochel left was Batsma, so those eights you should bake yourself. I don't have a way to bake myself. So the solution is, for Ashkenazim, we paskin as long as the Yisrael is somewhere involved in the process of making the bread. So it's called Pas Yisrael, not Pas Palt. So what's called Yisrael being involved? He turns on the fire. Well, the luck is, so that's, that already agrees to. But now the question is, if in the case of a person doesn't turn on the fire, he increases the fire. And not only increases the fire, he increases the fire very minimally. So the Ashkenazim, that's sufficient. So Yaksha was a tanner of Shefin by Hakim. Go to the oven where the goy is baking. Shiyashlach Yisrael was a tanner. Kesem echad. Throw in a toothpick. You've increased the fire because you added more wood. The toothpick is more wood. It's very minimal, but it's more wood. If you'll nafach ayirei mapuach, or if you use the bellows to fan the flames, he increased the fire. Or he blew on it with his mouth. Mahani. Okay. We call him welcome. So that's the din of that Yisrael should be makshar. Me Yishu Halach Baderek, a person is traveling. Imel fun of Pasha Yisrael, Ad Yosemir Bermeharba Milin. The closest available Jewish home where he can get Jewish bread is 4 mil ahead. And he wants to stop now. He doesn't want to continue traveling. Say it's less than 4 mil ahead. We say, listen, don't stop now. Keep going. You'll get Pasha Yisrael. But it's more than 4 mil. When he needs to eat, you can get used pasta shalakim. Whatever the loch is of a person who's makban a paspalter during the year, that's the way we're makabon the mimachmer during the sesame tshuva. And there it says explicitly, even a person who's makban a paspalter, if there's no pasta available, with any certain distance, he's not mechuyev not to eat. He's already paspalt. So that's true for a person who's normally careful to only pass his soil, that he can eat paspalt or under those circumstances. So similarly, during Sesem Echuba, where the minig was to keep the halacha of that for a person who's being careful, not to be more machmer. So you'd be allowed to do that. Okay. We're in Kabbalah. Yesterday, we should use a kol shana. The filahachim mutter Rav Ben Zed. So, such a person who's careful the whole year, it's mutter in that situation. So, anything which halacha says, we pass and pass pelter applies not only to bread, but to cake and cookies also. So that becomes like, you know. And where do you draw the line? So,
pass the ball with a kiss.
Pass the ball with a kiss, that's a dinner pass.
Yes.
So, okay, if there's no Jewish cookies available within the certain distance, someone eat these cookies. Well, there's Jewish cookies available, but there's no Oreos available. Right, there's no sandwich cookies available. So I like Oreos. Oreos are paspalter. So for me, you know, that's my. Right? So a person wants to eat paspalter during Sesame Chuba. He says, well, there's nothing similar to that. Well, there are other types of cookies available. Like, how much you say there has to be? The bread is pretty straightforward. Bread is bread, you know. Right? I only want white bread. There's only white bread available. Jewish white bread available. No Jewish white bread available. So I can use paspalter with white bread. You know, we don't say that. You know, we assume that they're fairly similar. So a person says, I Cheerios. Like a lot of places, Cheerios don't have a dinner pass. It's within possible to kiss it on Cheerios.
They do or don't?
They do.
They do.
It's made from a batter, and it's a real. So now during Sesame Chua, I have to be careful of my Cheerios. Well, there's no Jewish equivalent available of Saraf Dimach, or more than a person who would want to eat Cheerios the whole year. He's Machman Pal. There's no. Well, they have the Crunchyos from
Pesach.
From Pesach, which are non-gebrochs, you know, made out of potato starch.
Sugar.
And sugar, right? Right. So, is that called or something else available? Pasha's not. It's a totally different item. So, where do you draw the line? That's not very clear to me. It's also relevant, by the way, by Gabi Shabbos, because the Mishnah Berurah, way back when, in Siman Reish Mem Beis, brings down the person preferably should not eat paspalter on Shabbos. So bread usually isn't a problem. The person gets challah from the baker, or they make their own challah, or they buy from Rose on the door, whatever. It's not involved in cookies or cakes and stuff like that. It gets much more complicated. Or pretzels. It's possible but kistin, so it's paspalter. So there's Libra's pretzels available. Right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
So you so Starn, I like hers better, or whatever. It's a tough luck, The Shabbos you shouldn't use it. Okay, now. But if a goy is making bread, the Jews get involved in the process, but say he should not take off Rosh Hashanah if the goy made the dough. So even if he sold the dough to a Jew afterwards, the moment of chiyuv is when you make the dough, and you add combine the flour and the water, and you make a dough. That's the moment, it's called Gilgal. But chiyuv is b'shas Gilgal. B'shas Gilgal belonged to a goy. Goy's dough was not chayv and challah. So, Melnifka Mimeno, Chiv Chalah. The Chiv Chalah cannot then descend upon it later on, but at that time it was not considered chayv and challah.
Unless you combine it with something? Aren't there cases like where you recombine the dough or something? I remember the Mishnah.
There are some of the possibilities, but I'm not sure practically we do that nowadays too much. Okay, El Davka Kishemar Ha'akum Hakemak Lishol. In the case of the goy sold the flour to the Jew and the Jew made the dough, he's Chayiv. There'd be a fresh challah with the brach. Yeshu Cholad, the person should look through his deeds. Because of a Rosh, the Rosh writes in, there's a sefer called Erchas Chaim LaRosh, which was a. Basically a personal list of do's and don'ts that he wrote for himself, things that he should work on. His personal list of areas of correction. So he wrote for himself the following: Shikra Be'elu Hayamim Be'geres Tshuva Shor Ben Yonah. The Ben Yonah, who was a contemporary of the Rosh, but he was older, they overlapped. He wrote a sefer called Geres Tshuva, which basically lists the Samusur, with a combination of many different areas a person needs to work on. It's almost more like a halachic work. But the areas the person needs to focus on, do tshuva on, etc. So the Rosh wrote that you should read through the Geras Tshuva during the Sereshim Tshuva. Fine. Arizal calls them Shechiv Lilmoid B'Sifrei. Arizal, that person should read Sifrei Musr Kol Hashana. That person should be learning Musr, Sefer Musr the whole year. Because of growing initially become a Mekamis of my Sarav, that person should be learning Musr every day. Now, but that's true the whole year. So it's that much more starts to make true, but a person should be careful. So that applies to the following. That number one, Shayoshu Kadim Shayishka, a person should do tshuva before he goes to bed, like the Zohar says. That if a person does tshuva before he goes to bed, it's not written down in Shemayim as an error against him. There's an earnest, but it's not recorded in the record books, whatever that means. A person goes to bed and not doing tshuva, so then when he goes to Shemayim, the Neshama signs off he did the Vera, and now it's signed off in the book that he did the Vera. So it's more. We would say, psychologically nowadays, the Vera is much more ingrained in the person if he did not address it immediately by doing tshuva. Before a person goes to bed, a person should have regrets for that which he's done wrong, and he should search through his actions to see what he has to correct. That's part of the going to bed process.
The going to bed process?
Yeah. Before you go to bed, you should do that. There are 10 days, but three are the days of Yom Niroyim, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Yom Kippur. So these are 7 days. The 7 days correspond to the 7 days of the week, and therefore, every day you do tshuva for that day. Derech Moshe. B'yom Rishon Yasa tshuva al Mashachot Koyom B'yom Rishon. Chen B'yom Sheni B'chenu Kol Shivas. Shiva Yomim. So there's certain areas that a person does in Shabbos. Shabbos lends itself to certain areas of difficulty, that's whatever it is. So Shabbos would be, the Shabbos during that of the Seder Mitzvah would be the time to focus on the Shabbos, the Gaveras, and correct them. There's certain areas for us Americans, for Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon comes with its own set of challenges because many people are not working a regular way. So Yom Rishon, the Seder Mitzvah, you should be correcting that. Okay. The chapis ula fashis b'maisa. He has to search through his actions. There's a major Musa Shmuz. The Chayyam wrote his introduction to Sersim Tshuva about the importance of doing tshuva. Okay. He should find out what he's done wrong and then correct it. Okay, so now we don't do what's called Shuvos HaMishkan nowadays. It's very uncommon. Shuvos HaMishkan was at the Rishonim, the Rekeach, mostly the Rekeach.
Shuvos HaMishkan?
Yeah. The Rekeach was able to say, let's say I'm a trend, the person's a big Kabbalist, and he knows that the level of every area that the person does damages the heavenly order that the Rishon has for the whole Bria. So a person does Shuvah, a person wants to do Shuvah in a way which will equivalently fix that. There'd be a balance to the what was done wrong. So that's called Shuvah HaMishkal. It's a Shuvah which will be a balance back for the Vera which was done. So he has all this, you know, through fasting, and sometimes it's through other types of afflictions, rolling in the snow, and other, you know, not rolling, being terrible, doing tefillah shelling, being terrible yourself in the snow. So there were certain types of averas. You mentioned a little bit back.
What?
That a Seder Tshuva for a person, like, you know, to write out a Seder Tshuva, what's the proper way to do Tshuva in this area? So he's going to bring a few of them along, you know, along those lines. Okay. Reuven hired Shimon to travel for him as an agent. Benerag, and the agent was killed. So Reuven didn't make it, didn't kill him. But then he wasn't, you know, because he hired him and sent him, that's when it happens. It's proper that he should accept about himself a process of tshuva with, you know, with certain kaporas, etc. He gives you a few more comments about that topic. Okay. A woman caused a child to die. I never ensure him some of I'm a shiva subserver, Hashmish, some of then you're moil. Then Isha Shemitzah yell at mace. What should we do in that situation where they didn't kill the child, but the mice of the child died on their watch? He was forced to eat food which is asur. Now he's no longer under that pressure. He wants to chew, but he did wrong by eating the things. He may have relations with the one who's a nidah. He had relations with the non-Jewish woman. He tried to save somebody and ended it, he killed him. Bayim Bishar Tshuva, Bishar Elu, Medinim Elu, Bayim Barif. Now the Rif lists Esim Rabba, Devorim Hamakon, is a Tshuva. The Rambam actually quotes it also. The Rambam says the Rif, based on Chazal, there are 24 things that people do which prevent the person or limit the person's ability to do Tshuva. So obviously, you don't want to be involved in those things because that's not very healthy. You don't want to be involved in things which limit a person's ability to do Tshuva. Okay, so that's the end of Hilchos Seres Meshuva. Yom Kippur. So we're starting with Erev Yom Kippur, actually. Siman Tov Resh Dalet. Mitzvah Lechol but Erev Yom Kippur. Mo L'Harvest V'Suda. It's a mitzvah to eat in general and to be Marvim V'Suda. Zakter Mova also eats on this, but it's also to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. V'Afilu Filu Tanis Chalak.
What's the difference between Lechol and L'Harvest V'Suda?
Eating is eating in general. Harvest of Suda means he simply is proper to do it in the form of a Suda. So that's a bit Kiddush over here. Whereas on Yom Tov there's a mitzvah to eat, because the Iker mitzvah is not really a mitzvah to eat, the Iker mitzvah is to enjoy Yom Tov. So he said there's an argument that a person enjoys fasting under the circumstance that he's fearful that he's in danger, so the fasting, which Chazal said, helps prevent the disaster, is more simple for him than eating. But Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah is not simple, the mitzvah is to eat. So you gotta eat. Okay. We've noted this on this boy, Ayan Leel, Simon Tov, Kuf Ayan, Siv Bez. A person made an error not to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so take a look back before we spoke about that. So at the Mishnah Berurah. Mitzvah Lechol, Aleph. Where does it come from? So Chazal make a drush. You afflict yourself on in the evening. Write the dates, the time of day, until the following night. It sounds like, so the portion of the Bajra, we read like that, said, B'tisha Chedesh, as the evening comes, you are mounting yourself on the coming night. Now it says, B'nisem is not Shechem B'tisha, Masha Shisano B'tisha. There's affliction, there's fasting on the ninth. B'tisha Kippur, Man El B'Sur El Chedesh, Yom Kippur is the tenth. Kippur Chuzal, Da'ar Rabba. So the Pshat in the Pazig is Mitzvah, Minatara, Lechol, B'er Yom Kippur. That it's a Mitzvah to eat at Yom Kippur. The merchant gave reward when a person eats Erev Yom Kippur as if he fasted. Why is that? A mitzvah which comes difficulty is greater than a mitzvah without difficulty. You get reward according to the difficulty. So one of the pshatim is when you eat Erev Yom Kippur and you have a very large meal, when you go into Yom Kippur and you fast, so the change itself increases the difficulty. That's one suggestion what the mitzvah is. Now, so here the version is like this. If I look at a various difficulty greater than a various without difficulty, so if the mitzvah is to eat, not a very difficult mitzvah. Mitzvah is the fastest, more difficult mitzvah. So we're going to use the pasuk of if Inui, with regards to Erev Yom Kippur, to tell you that the Russian rewards it the equivalent as if it was fasting, even though it's much easier than fasting. The Chenshina Kosov, because of Mitzvah's Achilah, the Russian Tainus, she had natural Achilah, who lived there, who lived there, who had Tainus, Kalitin Skarb, Kimakai Mitzvah, Betzarb, Inui. So you get greater reward for the Achilah than had just said eaten, eat. So if a person would have to interrupt his studies and Erev Yom Kippur in order to be able to eat and drink.
Would have to what?
Interrupt his studies.
Interrupt his studies.
Yeah. So you don't fast even if it was tennis called a base. Okay, and in the Yisrael, the Nafshah, but it's Lisanus. If a person's scared, because he had a chalom ra, and he knows that the way you override a chalom ra is through fasting. So what does he do now? Sisana tzavim asekus, you fast till the last meal of the day. But I mean, it didn't sagish kishelob hamachas. One time a day eating is sufficient for the mitzvah. That would count the equivalent of some level of afflicting yourself and fasting on the day of the Titus Chola. Okay. We made a mitzvah on Yom Kippur. He does end up not fasting at all on that day. She said, "I say Yom Kippur. It is proper to pick a day after Yom Kippur and fast."
What if he didn't eat on Erev?
If he did not.
He did not what?
He didn't fast. He ate.
Why? He dreamt a bad dream. Or Yom Kippur.
Yeah. What time?
20.
That's what's holding here. That's all over here. Okay. Very good. Very good.